So today, if you haven't noticed, is the Feast of Christ the King. And it's the Sunday in which we conclude the liturgical year. And we acknowledge that Christ is the Lord of all history. And the formal title for this feast is rather substantial. The Solemnity of Our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. That's the full title of the feast today. Amen. And we might think, as we, for example, as we did coming up the aisle, we think of Jesus enthroned in heaven and in glory and ruling over all things and seated upon his starry throne. And yet, we're presented with a gospel today that presents a very paradoxical image of Christ our King. He is truly the King, but his throne is the cross. Crown is made of thorns, and the royal scepter is a nail through his wrist. His purple garments are his own blood, and so on. You see the paradoxical image of how he reigns, and yet he does. He reigns from the cross. So although he reigns in heaven, he also reigns from the cross. I want to give you an image and work with this image a little bit with you today. And ask you to ponder not just Jesus, but the church. We think of the church, we think of images like, well, the bride of Christ and the body of Christ. And so indeed, it's good, and it's right there in Scripture. But I would also say to you that today, here's an image of the church. Jesus Christ crucified between two thieves. There's a picture of the church for you. Pastor, I don't know about that one. See, again, an image for the church. Jesus Christ crucified between two thieves. You say, Pastor, I have some sins in my life. I'll admit it. But thievery is not one of them. I don't take what doesn't belong to me. Don't call me a thief. I'm not a thief. Yes, you are. So am I. Now, why do I say that? Well, to be a thief doesn't just mean you just go and take something that belongs to somebody, but there's a little more to it. You can be a thief also by making use of something that doesn't belong to you in a way that the owner would not be happy about. That's another form of theft. When we make use of something that belongs to somebody else, with or without their knowledge, but we're going to return it, but we make use of it in a way that would not please them. So, you loan me your car so I can run some errands. But you don't loan it to me so that I can drive recklessly, right? Don't you want me to drive gently? Amen? That's your baby, you know? Don't drive recklessly. So, if I take your car, even with your permission, and drive recklessly, I'm engaging in a kind of a theft because I'm not using what you've loaned me in accord with your wishes, okay? Or let's say you loan the car to me to go over there to Safeway to go pick up a few things, and I drive to California with it. See? So again, all of these are ways of saying that another form of theft is to use something that belongs to somebody else in a way that would not please the owner. Well, in that sense, we're all thieves. I got news for you. We live in a world today where a lot of people like to say, my body belongs to me, and my life belongs to me, and all that kind of stuff. And no matter what the D.C. City Council says, or any other person says who talks like this, your life does not belong to you, your body does not belong to you, your life belongs to God. And with that suicide bill that's sitting on the mayor's desk, pray for her. She's a Catholic. Pray she does the right thing, but again, no, we have no right to willfully take our own life. Sometimes people commit suicide in a moment of terrible despair, but the church is very pastoral about that. But to sit down and plan and order up medicines and so on, that is a dreadful, dreadful form of suicide and a form of theft, because you're taking your own life. It's not yours to take. It's God's. Your life belongs to God, your body belongs to God, my life, my body belong to God. 1 Corinthians 6, you are not your own. You have been purchased and at a price. The blood of the Lamb. therefore glorify God in your bodies. See? Now, again, we move beyond something as awful and painful as this question of suicide and the death and dying issues. We move on, though, to look at other ways that we could easily misuse our bodies. I mean, God gave me my eyes, and they belong to Him. But what am I looking at? Does it please Him? Some of us are looking at stuff we got no business looking at. Or likewise, my ears. Do my ears belong to God? Do I use my ears in ways that please God? Or am I listening to some things I got no business listening to? Or my mouth, look out, here comes a big one, right? You know, is what comes out of my mouth pleasing to God, who's the true owner of my mouth? And on I could go. But you see, to use something that belongs to another contrary to the will of that owner is a form of theft. And therefore, I argue with you that two thieves pretty well sums us up. We're all thieves. And Jesus is there with us, not Himself a thief, but identifying with us and loving us. So here's an image of the church. Jesus Christ crucified between two thieves. Now we're going to see these thieves are not exactly the same. But again, just see the picture for now. Now then, we find that, I just point out to you that St. Thomas gives three reasons why Christ was crucified between two thieves. One of them I've already given you as an image for the church, but he gives three other reasons, and I'll just mention two in passing, and I want to spend some time with the third. The first reason that Thomas says Jesus was crucified between two thieves was because he wanted to identify with sinners. He himself was not a sinner, but so much did he love us that he was not ashamed to be identified. He took our guilt upon himself. He was not guilty, but he took his guilt, and he was willing to be identified with sinners like us. The book of Hebrews says he is not ashamed to call us his brethren. Now, I might be ashamed to call it, you know, but he's not ashamed. Isn't that beautiful? He was found among sinners, and he died with fellow sinners, even though he wasn't a sinner. A remarkable humility. So we have that. The second reason Thomas says that Jesus was crucified between two thieves was as a reminder of the last judgment. You may remember in Matthew 25, the Lord talks about the sheep and the goats, those on his right, those on his left, those who are truly his disciples on his right, and on those who are not on his left. And so the thief on the right represents the sheep, and the thief on the left represents the goats, and the cross is the judgment seat. And we will be judged by the one who loves us, but also by the one who insists that we take up our cross. You see, it's very easy for us to say, hallelujah, Jesus, you're the king, hallelujah, hallelujah. But he says, well, if I'm really your king, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Why do you call me your king? Are you really my disciple? Jesus says to us, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to be willing to take up your cross and follow me. And if you will not take up your cross and follow me, then you cannot be my disciple. You can call me king all you want, but I'm not really your king. Because look where I'm found, on a cross. Now, that leads us to the third thing Thomas says, and I want to spend the rest of the homily focusing on this image. He says, and I'm paraphrasing him here, but that Jesus died on the cross between two thieves to illustrate the very different dispositions that we can have in relationship to the cross. One thief acknowledges Jesus being on the cross, acknowledges that he deserves being on a cross, but Jesus doesn't. The other thief just reviles him and says, get rid of these crosses if you are the Messiah. So we have two thieves with very different standpoints related to the cross. And it's not just a theoretical difference. My brothers and sisters, the cross is at the center, pardon the expression, it's at the crux. It's a Latin word which means cross. It's the crux of our faith. It's at the center. Jesus did not say, take up your pillow. He said, take up your cross. And he said that true discipleship would be largely adjudicated on whether a person is willing to take up their cross and follow him or not. And so these two thieves on either side show two very different points of view about the most central way that we are to be saved, namely through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, let's look at each thief. They're both thieves. They have that in common. Thieves, robbers, insurrectionists, whatever, different titles, but thieves. They both have that in common. Now, they also both reviled him. Now, why do I say that? In this gospel, it's not shown, but in Matthew's gospel, it says that the thieves on either side of him both reviled him. But somewhere, and John doesn't say it, show how it happens, but the thief to his right, on Jesus' right, comes to his senses and stops reviling. So, they're both thieves. They both start by reviling him. But even there, that's not the fundamental difference. It's not just that one thief reviles him or angrily denounces him and the other does not, but rather this. The good thief said, "You know, Lord," and he also says to the other thief, "I deserve my cross. I'm a sinner. And the punishments I have, I deserve. You, Jesus, you're innocent. You did nothing wrong. You don't deserve this. I do. I accept my cross. I accept it as a just punishment for my sinfulness. I accept the cross. I only ask this. Let me stay next to you. And please remember me when you come into your kingdom." So the one thief accepts the cross. The other thief takes up the chorus of people beneath the cross who are scoffing and mocking at Jesus. Scoffing and mocking, they said, "If you're the Messiah, come down from that cross." And we know the beautiful gospel song our choir often sing, "He would not come down from that cross to save himself. He decided to stay to save me." But nevertheless, they're scoffing and saying, "If you're a Messiah, no crosses. You get rid of the crosses. That's what the Messiah should do. He's to get rid of all the crosses." And the thief on his left takes up that chorus and says, "Away with these crosses. If you're the Messiah, get me off this cross. Otherwise, get lost. I need a Messiah who will do my bidding, who will answer to me." See, no cross for me. True Messiah, he will alleviate all crosses. See the difference between them? One says, "I accept the cross." And he's a true disciple. And he's acknowledging his crucified king and saying, "If I can just be next to you and imitate you and take up my little sliver, you have a heavier cross than I, but if I can just carry my little sliver of the cross, Lord, I'm proud to do it. Just keep me next to you and remember me when you come into your kingdom." The other one says, "No cross for me. No cross for anyone to get us out of these, off these crosses." So the good thief asks to be taken up. The bad thief asks to be taken down. But there's only one way up. It's through the cross. And so then today we have Jesus nailed to a cross. And Pontius Pilate, the pagan governor, spoke the truth. And nothing truer has ever been spoken. He said, or the title over it said, "Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, and all of us who are grafted onto the vine of Israel, that's our King. And look where he is. Not in some comfy palace handing out political favors. He's on a cross and he's saying, 'Will you join me here? Because this is the only way home.'" You say, "Why is that, Pastor? Is God cruel?" Well, now remember, he did offer us paradise. He said, "Now, there is another way, but Adam and Eve, let me tell you something. It involves suffering and death. I wouldn't recommend you do it." Well, you know what they did. They chose suffering and death. And so did we, every one of us, because of our own sins, has affirmed their decision. So the Lord said, "All right, you've chosen suffering and death. I will meet you there. At the crossroads of your suffering and death, I will meet you. And I'll be there with you. Will you come and meet me there?" That's the question. Will you accept now You've chosen the way of suffering and death. I will meet you there, and I will make your suffering and even your death the very way back to me. That's what I'll do. So Jesus didn't just come to get us out of trouble, but to get into trouble with us and show us the way home, across and up Mount Calvary and over, and then up to the great Zion of heaven. That's the way. And he says, this is the kind of king I am. I reign from the cross. Is this what you expected to hear in the feast of Christ the King? Do you expect to hear a gospel like this? See? And yet he's saying, look, you call me Lord, you call me King. But which thief are you like? Are you the one who says, I understand the cross is necessary in my life. I understand it. It's necessary for me. It's the only healing remedy. It's spes unica. It's the only hope that I have for salvation, to let you use the cross to bring me home. Are you that thief? Or are you the thief that says, I don't like a God who doesn't give me what I want? I only want happiness. No cross for me. I don't think God loves me. See, which thief are you like? Now, let's get practical. I'm going to just say, St. Paul lamented, and he wasn't talking about pagans. He was talking about some of the members of the churches he'd founded. He says, I say this with great sadness in my heart, that some of you prove yourselves to be enemies of the cross of Christ. He says their God is their stomach, in other words, whatever pleasures, you know, and they glory in their shame. You see, the Lord asked us to take up a cross. Now, there are those heavy crosses. For example, getting back to this question of so-called physician-assisted suicide, euthanasia. I do not doubt, I have seen people through their last weeks and months. I saw my father through his last 6 months, stayed at his bedside. You've done the same with relatives you love. I've certainly been there with many parishioners. I've been there with some of you and some of your families. And I know that suffering and dying isn't easy. But I do know this, that it's very productive if it's carried on with faith. I think of my own father. I think of how he buried the hatchet, how he was humbled in the sight of God, how he told me for the first time in my adult life that he was proud of me. I needed to hear those words. Sitting there at the bedside, he buried the hatchet. There's suffering, and even the suffering before death is maybe one of the most critical moments of our life. Suffering brings us humility. Suffering gives us wisdom. Suffering helps us to let go of the things of this world, to reach for something greater. Oh yes, suffering has its place. And so it is that for us to simply say, well, get rid of all this, let people just commit suicide. I hope nobody in this church ever takes any part in that. It's a very grave sin. Your life doesn't belong to you, or never joins up with anybody else who takes these drugs to kill themselves. That is not the way. And it's a terrible thing to commit a grave sin on your way right out the door up to the judgment seat. My brothers and sisters, our life does not belong to us. Now, that doesn't mean we have to add machine after machine. We can certainly alleviate people's pain, but God intends for some of us, all of us, to experience the cross. Because suffering and the cross is what heals us. Do you have that faith? St. Paul says, I'm so sad to think that some show themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. We gather in churches, and at the center of our church is the crucifix. We sing songs like, lift high the cross. Do we mean it? And it isn't just a big suffering like that, but how about some of the other sufferings that the Lord asks us to endure? For example, it's easy to give way to temptation. It's harder to resist. It's easy to sin. It's harder not to sin. Those are crosses he expects us to carry. And too often, we've turned God into some kind of a comforter. And the only thing he has for us is a pillow, and we turn religion into that as well. But true religion should challenge us to be greater, to turn away from sin, and that's going to involve suffering and the cross. And we, whether we like to admit it or not, we need the cross. Now, I hope none of you like suffering. If you do, I gotta make a little appointment for you at the local psychiatric doctor, all right? By definition, suffering is not desirable. But you know, deep down, we know we need it. We need it. And the Lord said, I had paradise for you. You chose another way. And now, the way of healing is through the cross. Yes, ask the Lord for deliverance. Ask him for healing. Ask for relief. Yes. But sometimes, as he told Paul, no, I need you to endure this weakness, this struggle. Because in weakness, power, holiness reaches perfection. So we're back now to the cross. Jesus is there. And there's two thieves. It's an image for the church. All of us are thieves. But the question is, are you the good thief who says, Lord, I understand the cross, the need for the cross in my life and in the life of people that I love. Help me never, never to reject your cross. Help me to embrace it and help others to carry their crosses. Help me, Lord, to have the courage to sometimes summon people to do heroic things because it's what's best. It's not what's most comfortable, but it is what is best and what you expect. Help me, Lord, to be on my cross next to you, remembering that sometimes you ask sacrifices, that you ask things that are hard, and you ask them because I need the cross. I need it to be healed. It's like a scalpel of a surgeon. It's painful in what it delivers, but it finally brings the healing. Or are you like the cross, or the bad thief on the other cross, who says, no cross for me, and no cross for anyone else, and the church is cruel, and the Bible is cruel, and God is cruel. How dare? No, no. Or you just turn God into a harmless kind of butler who his job is to just make you happy. God wants me to be happy, doesn't he? God wants me to be happy, doesn't he? People talk like that. They turn God into a kind of a just someone who's there to kind of, you know, be just wait on the table for you. You look at your menu and say, this is what I want, God, and he's supposed to bring it to you. Now, it may not be that obvious in people's minds, but an awful lot of people have justified an awful lot of sin saying, well, God wants me to be happy, doesn't he? That is not the cross. God may not want that type of happiness for me. There are just some things he does not want for me, not because he hates me, but because he loves me and wants to save me, and the thing that I call good would destroy me. But too many are like that thief on the other cross who says, no cross for me. No cross for others that I love. No cross. So, I need to end now. There's a picture before us. Jesus is on the cross, innocent, but identifying with sinners. He's there with us. He meets us at the corner of our own suffering and pain, of our own sinfulness. He meets us there. And on one side is a thief who says, I accept the cross. I accept its role in my life. I only ask to be next to you, Jesus. And I only ask that you remember me in your kingdom. Are you that thief? Are you the thief that says, no cross, get me off this cross, no cross for me, or you're not a Messiah? Which thief are you? Which thief? Amen.